This is Jordan Seculo in Washington, D.C., and another stunning admission. The Obama administration has ended the Pentagon program to train Syrian rebels against the Assad regime and ISIS. And, of course, Middle East violence continues in Israel.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
President Obama and Defense Secretary Carter once had great hopes for the U.S. program to train Syrian rebels, but in the end, it only produced, believe it or not, five fighters at a cost of $500 million.
Consider the timing here. Just as the White House is trying to say to everyone that the Russian policy towards Syria is a disaster, they are forced to make this major admission that their $500 million program to train and equip Syrian rebels is a disaster in its own right. At last report, the program to train those rebels produced enough fighters barely for a basketball team, clearly not anywhere close to what was needed to take on ISIS. So now it is back to the drawing boards for Defense Secretary Ash Carter.
I wasn't satisfied with the early efforts in that regard, and so we're looking at different ways to achieve the same kind of strategic objective. We have devised a number of different approaches to that going forward, and taken them to President Obama.
Another day of rage in the West Bank. Rocks and marbles answered with tear gas and bullets. Deadly violence, both Israeli and Palestinian leaders say they want to stop. Span of a week, four Israelis were killed in two separate attacks. Israeli forces either arrested or killed the alleged perpetrators.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. And there's plenty to talk about today on the broadcast. First, I want to get to, of course, this new report from our Pentagon that they have suspended the training program to train any kind of rebels against the Assad regime. These were the pro-West rebels, the non-ISIS, non-Al-Qaeda, non-Al-Nusra rebels that were supposed to train thousands of Syrians, mostly what was called the Free Syrian Army. They were looking at numbers like 5,000, 10,000. Well, ultimately, after spending, get this, $500 million, and add to that Russia getting involved in the conflict directly on the side of the Assad regime. Again, this opening a window, when you spend $500 million and you can only train five people, all of which I think or believe have been killed already in battle, it does send a signal of weakness to countries like Russia that say, hey, we can go in there and do a much better job, and we'll help our friend Assad, Bashar Assad. We'll keep him in power. We'll get rid of ISIS, as well as these groups that the West may be backing. So the Pentagon has now ended its program to train Syrian rebels to fight the Assad regime and defeat ISIS, which means we're now left with only air campaigns against ISIS targets, while Russia going in on the ground, running a lot of different air campaigns, not just targeting ISIS or al-Nusra, but also targeting those who we believe would be supportive of an overthrow of the Assad regime that would not be included in those radical groups. A new admission that the Obama administration, by having a lack of strategy, what they're doing, you can't even call it a strategy in Syria, is failing. Violence is continuing to erupt in the Middle East. Let's listen. This is Prime Minister Netanyahu describing the situation there, calling it a wave of terrorism. All right, we'll go back to that sound when we've got it. I know we've got it in our sound today. We'll go right back to that. Folks, I want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. There's also plenty to talk about when it comes to domestic politics right here, the race for who will be the Speaker of the House, as Kevin McCarthy has pulled out of that race in a breaking development yesterday. We will get reaction from our Director of Government Affairs, Dan Bennett, who is following this closely, meeting with these members of Congress and their offices to get an update on where this race for Speaker, very important office, third in line to the President of the United States and the leader of the House of Representatives, where that race stands. We get back. We have got to continue to stand with Israel. Call now. Add your name to our petition, 877-989-2255. Our government shouldn't be funding the terrorist Palestinian Authority. Call now, 877-989-2255. 2255. That's 877-989-2255.
The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority is threatening Israel and breaking decades-old peace agreements. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has declared that it's breaking the 1995 Oslo peace accords with Israel. That's a direct violation of international law and puts Israel in grave danger. Here's the problem. The U.S. sends about $400 million of our tax dollars to the Palestinian Authority each year. At the ACLJ, we're taking direct action to defend our ally Israel. We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're going to be talking about this race for the Speaker of the House after Kevin McCarthy pulled out of that race a bit surprisingly yesterday in a move. He's taken himself out of consideration. We've got talk like people like Congressman Paul Ryan who are going to be considering this once again over the weekend. First, he had said he was not interested in it, but things have changed significantly, and it may be that a significant amount of members of his party are calling on him to put his name in the hat for the race. There are others as well. I know Congressman Webster, Congressman Gowdy, people have talked about Congressman Jordan. I don't want to be leaving anyone out. Of course, Congressman Chaffetz has announced, but he said that he would endorse, he would pull out and support Congressman Ryan's bid for Speaker if that was in his decision. Now, he says he's going to be thinking about it over the weekend. We'll get to full analysts and analyze that for you with Dan Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, in just a minute. I do want to update you on Israel, though. Prime Minister Netanyahu has described what Israel's facing as a, quote, mist of a wave of terrorism. And he said that he's blaming this on Hamas. Let me just read some of this for you. Amid a wave of violence, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday urged Arab and Israeli leaders to stay away from one of the country's holiest sites in an effort to keep tensions from getting out of hand. In a televised speech, Prime Minister Netanyahu asked Jewish and Arab political leaders to stay away from the site and the Temple Mount area. The site, and we call that, of course, the Temple Mount. Muslims call it the Noble Sanctuary, for fear it could spark an explosive event. That's the kind of language you're looking for about a third intifada or uprising. And they have occurred starting at the Temple Mount before. If any of you have visited Israel, you know exactly where we're talking about, the Western Wall. What's on top of that? The Dome of the Rock. So a holy site for Jews, a holy site for Muslims as well. In other remarks, Prime Minister Netanyahu was very stern and contentious. He blamed recent bloodshed on the Palestinian Authority, which controls part of the West Bank, and Hamas, which controls Gaza. Key there. He's not trying to make a distinction between those two in this new round of terrorism, this wave of terrorism. Get this. Our ally Israel is experiencing a wave of terrorism. Israelis right now at their home are experiencing a wave of terrorism, and it's not just from Hamas. It's also from the Palestinian Authority, which, by the way, we fund $400 million a year to.
from the U.S. government, from your taxpayer dollars. We have got to defund that, and we can do something about it because we've got a new petition going to Congress saying cut this funding off. It can be temporary. It needs to be serious. We need to show that there are consequences for rhetoric. There are consequences for allowing and even encouraging this violence and awarding it. Remember, they pay those who carry out these attacks, and if they die, they pay their families. And that money, again, could be coming from us because we give them $400 million a year. Enough is enough. Join our petition. This may be the final day to do so. We need Congress to act. We need more attention on the violence that's ongoing in Israel because this wave of terrorism, as Prime Minister Netanyahu called it. Pick up your phone, call our toll-free number now, and add your name to our petition to stop funding terrorism. I know it sounds extreme, but we are funding terrorism with our own dollars. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org and sign the petition online right there. We're, of course, taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Violence has continued. Just yesterday, there's been another terror attack there with a Palestinian who stabbed an ultra-Orthodox Jewish student in Jerusalem, seriously wounding him. A 19-year-old Palestinian from a refugee camp has been arrested in that attack by a rail station, again, by a bus station or train station. These are the kinds of attacks we continue to see. A Palestinian assailant stabbed an Israeli soldier, grabbed his gun on Wednesday in an Israeli city just about 30 miles south of Tel Aviv. So we're seeing it from both sides, both on the east towards the West Bank and on the west towards the Gaza Strip and where Hamas operates. And the people who are focusing the attacks, primarily civilians, sometimes soldiers as well. But it's being called in Israel by their prime minister a wave of terrorism. Let's do something about it. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Now, I want to turn to this issue, and Than Bin, our Director of Government Affairs, we got to break this down for everybody. Speaker of the House is very important. It's third in line to the president. It's the leader of the House of Representatives, the people's body. It's someone who is in direct, it sets the stage for what pieces of legislation are moving in negotiations with other party leaders and the Senate, and of course the White House as well. This is really the House of Representatives. It's their representative in many cases to the President of the United States, and it's someone who's third in line to be President of the United States. Then a big announcement yesterday, a bit of a surprise, Kevin McCarthy pulled out, said it was not going to be him, it's not me, the votes weren't there, and so it's really made the race pretty wide open.
Yeah, it really has, Jordan. Kevin McCarthy went into yesterday's Republican conference meeting, which, by the way, it's a private meeting, it's a secret ballot meeting that was scheduled to put forward a nominee to replace John Boehner, and it was widely expected that Kevin McCarthy would be that nominee. He only needed to get 124 votes, or a bare minimum of the Republican conference in that meeting, to become the nominee, but he was going to need 218, which is a majority of the House of Representatives, on a vote on the floor. And I think a couple of things became clear yesterday. I think, number one, it became clear to him that he was not ever going to be able to get a 218 votes. I think there were a couple other factors involved behind the scenes. But at the end of the day, he knew he was not going to be elected Speaker of the United States. So what he did in that secret meeting before they cast a vote, he actually withdrew his name from consideration. And what Speaker Boehner did as a result of that is he postponed the nomination for the Republican nominee for Speaker of the House. Now, just quickly, there are two other candidates that are already in the race. Jason Chaffetz, the Oversight Committee chairman, and Daniel Webster from Florida, who has 40 endorsements from the conservative wing of the caucus, known as the Freedom Caucus. But I think here's the bottom line, Jordan. The consensus candidate right now is the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, the last vice president nominee from the Republican Party, Paul Ryan. I think he is right now the only candidate that would have 218 votes today if the election were held. He has said repeatedly he does not want this job. However, after a lot of pressure from his colleagues, he has said that he's going to go home to Wisconsin this weekend and he's going to think about it. So right now, I think we're in a stage where we wait to see what Paul Ryan says after this weekend. If he again says no, it opens it up to a whole nother wave of candidates.
So if he is yes, then Chaffetz is out. And Chaffetz was another leading contender, maybe someone who was putting McCarthy, maybe making it more difficult to get the votes. Jason Chaffetz, congressman from Utah, who is the head of the oversight, chairs the oversight committee, and you know him from the IRS investigations into the emails and the targeting of conservative organizations, if you listen to our broadcast a lot. And so he's said that, you know, listen, if Paul Ryan's in this, I would back him. But we don't know if Paul Ryan's in it. We should find out sometime over the weekend or very early next week. This has to be settled pretty soon. Let's take a listen. This is Congressman Kevin McCarthy. He is currently the majority leader of the House of Representatives at this press conference announcing his withdrawal. Bite one.
The one thing I've always said to earn this majority, we're servants. We should put this conference first. And I think there's something to be said for us to unite. We probably need a fresh face. If we are going to unite and be strong, we need a new face to help do that. I don't want to go to the floor and win with 220 votes. I think the best thing for our party right now is that you have 247 votes on the floor.
And so that, again, was Congressman Kevin McCarthy. He's pulling out. Here's Jason Chaffetz, who was also seen as a leading contender by four.
I think we have a lot of internal fracturing that's happened, and we need to figure out a way to unite the party. That's what Kevin McCarthy wants to do. It's what I want to do, and I think that's what John Boehner wants to do.
And you're saying, Than, that if Paul Ryan were to get in this race, it is known that Congressman Chaffetz would step aside?
That is what he has essentially said. His comments right now are that he is running for speaker because there are only two candidates. He thinks he is the best one suited. However, he said if Paul Ryan were to get into this race, he would be a great leader. I would be inclined to support him. And by the way, another person who said something very similar, Jordan, was the former oversight chair who is also considered running for speaker, Daryl Issa. He has said very publicly, very forcefully, that if Paul Ryan enters this race, he not only will not run, but he will endorse Paul Ryan. So it really becomes a numbers game. You can only lose 29 votes on the floor of the House and still win the speakership. You have to be able to get to 218. And right now, it just looks like Paul Ryan is the only person that could lock up 218 if he announced today. Folks, as we close this segment of the broadcast, we're going to get back into the issue of the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives. Again, just the simple explanation of the process. To become the Republican nominee for Speaker, you need 124 votes behind closed doors in a secret ballot. But then when you go to the floor of the House, you need a majority of the House, 218 votes. There are 247 Republicans in the House, so you can only afford to lose 29 of those votes. I think we're in a holding pattern. I think we have to see whether or not Paul Ryan throws his name to the race. If he does not, it will open the door for a whole number of other candidates. In the meantime, folks, there is a job for Congress to do. No matter who the Speaker of the House is, we have got to pull $400 million of funding from Islamic radical extremists. That was our plan to overthrow ISIS, to arm radical Islamic extremists. That was a terrible idea from the beginning. It is also time we pull the funding from Hamas, a designated terrorist organization. If you want to add your name to the petition demanding that Congress do just that, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Again, the number, 877-989-2255.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority is threatening Israel and breaking decades-old peace agreements. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has declared that it's breaking the 1995 Oslo peace accords with Israel. That's a direct violation of international law and puts Israel in grave danger. Here's the problem. The U.S. sends about $400 million of our tax dollars to the Palestinian Authority each year. At the ACLJ, we're taking direct action to defend our ally Israel. We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to J Secchio Live. This is Jordan Secchio. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And folks, we are talking about a number of different issues. One, the violence erupting in Israel, specifically this wave of terror, as Prime Minister Netanyahu has described it, a wave of terror in Israel. I will read for you his exact words, but very strong in a sense, because this is what is happening. Netanyahu, quote, "We're in the midst of a wave of terrorism." All of this started, did we not predict it on this broadcast, with these remarks from the Palestinian Authority president, Mahmoud Abbas, anti-Israel, saying the Oslo Accords are no good, and basically giving the green light for radical groups operating within the Palestinian Authority's control in the West Bank and in the Gaza Strip with Hamas. And that's what we've seen from these attacks. It's both Hamas and the Palestinian Authority being responsible and even working together. And most of these attacks on innocent civilians losing their lives, being seriously injured. And this could just be the start of what could become a third intifada. We pray that it doesn't, but we have to remain strong. And this is what's sickening. See, we send $400 million a year to the Palestinian Authority, to that same leader, Mahmoud Abbas, who criticized Israel and cut off the Oslo Accords at the United Nations and unleashed this flood and wave of terror against Israelis. We send $400 million a year to the government he oversees, the Palestinian Authority. Every one of these attackers, if they die, their families get money, serious amounts of money. Many terrorists who are in prison in Israel, their families are receiving $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year in funding from the Palestinian Authority. And those who are martyred, their families get money. Those who carry out these attacks, they receive money. You see, there is a financial incentive, as well as the ideological and religious. There is a financial incentive to carry out these acts of terror. Now, the Palestinian Authority doesn't have a lot of extra cash lying around. So the only way it can even have this kind of money to spend is through the support it receives from the international community. $400 million of that comes from the United States government. That means it comes from you and me and our taxpayer dollars. Enough is enough. This is not some uprising that's occurred outside of Mahmoud Abbas or the Palestinians' control. This is not something that's just happening in the Gaza Strip with Hamas. This is directly responsible for the Palestinian Authority, and Mahmoud Abbas are directly responsible. We have got to stop sending this money. Congress has the power of the purse. They can do something about it. There should be great unity here, Republican and Democrat. Over 120,000 people have signed our petition to stop funding terror, but we need more of you to join. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. I also know we've got a lot of phone calls coming in. Sam, let's take some of those.
Yeah, a lot of phone calls coming into the broadcast. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can call now, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to be a part of the broadcast. We're going to start with Lisa calling from Virginia on line one. Lisa, welcome to J Secular Live.
Good morning. I love listening to your show because it brings a lot of good Christian values that from the political standpoint of what's going on in our country. But I agree with what's going on as far as us sending money to Palestine to help support them financially. However, they are supporting their terrorist families with taxpayers' dollars to say, okay, go and carry out these attacks on our enemy, which is our ally, and America is helping fund that. Or also you guys stated that America said we're not going to support training Syrian rebels anymore. And I strongly agree that we should not have been training any of the rebels, because in a lot of our situations where we've been in war from Iraq, the Persian Gulf, or we've trained rebels,
and they've turned bad. You have a great call. I just want to address a couple of things you said. One, on Israel, it's true. You know, I mean, without the money, like the money from the United States, $400 million of international aid from our taxpayer dollars to the Palestinian Authority, it'd be a lot tougher for them to try and figure out how to cut those checks to these so-called martyrs, these terrorists, and their families. So their families encourage a lot of times, these are young teenagers, to carry out these attacks because it's a financial windfall for the family. So you got ideological, religious, and financial reasons. It's sick. We don't think about it this way in America. It's tough to think that you would encourage your child to carry out an attack like this so you'd get more money. But that's the reality there. And so the government plays a big role, because if they're encouraging it, if they're paying for it, that means they're telling people, go ahead. And with the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas's speech at the United Nations, they absolutely, absolutely were going to that level and saying, okay, green light to terrorism. And that's exactly why we're seeing what Prime Minister Netanyahu calls a wave of terror in Israel. We need to stand with Israel and stop sending this money to the Palestinian Authority. Make them hurt. You know, make it difficult on their economy. Make them think twice. Punish them for their actions and the words and the inaction of their leaders. Call now. Add your name to this petition. Critical time to stand with Israel. It's toll-free. Doesn't cost you a thing. 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. You can also go to ACLJ.org and sign the petition online. That's ACLJ.org. Do we have some more calls coming in? Can we take one more?
Yeah, we sure do, Jordan. I think we got time for one more call in this segment of the broadcast. Let's go to line 5. Faye is calling from Oregon. Faye, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning, and thank you for all that you do. I was just curious if we have an actual count of the numbers in House and Congress who are pro-Israel, so we could not only promote them out in the community and let people know who are with our allies instead of those that are staying against. And conversely, it'd be nice to know who are against so we can make sure those people don't get reelected.
Absolutely. Well, I think, Fan, it would be easier. I know we can't do it right now in the broadcast, but it'd be easier to take a look at some of the votes we've posted before at ACLJ.org. Maybe you know a recent one you could, again, point her to, because it's actually easier to look at who is not. Congress is very supportive of Israel. Now, if you look at the Iran vote and you want to include that as a mark against people who are pro-Israel, you could do that as well. So that may be, Stan, the best resource to go is see how your members of Congress voted on the Iranian nuclear deal. If they voted for the deal, then that means I would put them in the not real supportive of Israel category. Now, some would disagree with me on that. Some would say, no, that's not true. I do support Israel, but I think this deal was best. But that, for me, that's the most immediate signal. Stan, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think the most effective thing to always do is look at both votes that have been cast and then also legislation that has been supported. I mean, right now, I think you would have to be on one of the three bills that is out there to defund the Palestinian Authority. There's one by Rand Paul, one by Kirk Clausen, and then also one by a Democrat, Alcee Hastings. So I think your name has to be on one of those three bills if you're going to go out and credibly say that you support Israel. Folks, as we close the broadcast, I would just ask that you would add your name to the petition calling on Congress to do exactly that. Pull this funding from Hamas. We're talking about $400 million a year, almost $500 million. If you want to put your name on this and tell Congress to back up their words with action, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at ACLJ.org. It's pretty simple. We don't fund terrorists. U.S. law says that. Let's now back it up with action. 877-989-2255.
We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jordan. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. There's plenty to talk about. If you've already been joining us, the first half hour of the broadcast will continue our discussion of what's going on in Israel, what's happened in Syria, and, of course, the Speaker of the House. Who will it be? A big surprise, Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy yesterday announced that he will not be seeking to run for Speaker of the House amongst his peers, Republican members of Congress, the House of Representatives, taking his name out. Now, who do we know is in? Well, we know Jason Chaffetz, who is the chair of the Oversight Committee. He is in. We know Congressman Webster is in. We've heard reports about possibly Jim Jordan, Trey Gowdy, all who could make very excellent speakers, though I'm just throwing some names out there. Only two of those that I know of have actually put their name out, Chaffetz and Webster, but there's a new wrinkle. The new wrinkle is that Paul Ryan, who is the vice presidential candidate with Mitt Romney, a congressman from Wisconsin, is now also reconsidering. He's getting a lot of support, at least through other members of Congress, and that's what's key here because they are the ones who ultimately elect the speaker. And, Stan, I wanted to go to you on this for speaker. If Paul Ryan gets in, how does that change? I think we'll know over the weekend. And maybe for the people out there who are on their phones, you want to call us 1-800-684-3110. What would you think of a Paul Ryan speaker, Trey Gowdy, Jason Chaffetz, or is there someone else you want to see get in that speaker race? Call us. Our number's toll-free to be on the air, 1-800-684-3110. We've got a couple lines open. That's 1-800-684-3110.
I think the thing that's really at play here, Jordan, is the simple numbers game. You have to be able to get to 218 votes on the floor of the House of Representatives to be the speaker. And it just appears like there are only a handful of people in the House of Representatives who actually have a chance at getting to 218. You know, you're talking about somebody that has to get both the conservative wing of the Republican Party and then also maybe more of the establishment ring of area of the Republican Party. Paul Ryan, the first name you talked about, I think he is the most obvious choice for being able to get there. He would have the backing of people like John Boehner and maybe even Mitt Romney. He ran as his running mate last time. He also has some very deep support within the Freedom Caucus, within the most conservative wing of the Republican Party, because he has a very conservative track record. Now, the drawback for him is he has always wanted to be the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, and he is currently the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. So it becomes a question of whether or not he is willing to give that up, as well as give up time with his family. He's got young children. A couple of other names I'll just throw out quickly as we come up in the edge of this segment of the broadcast. I think that Trey Gowdy, who is the chairman of the Select Committee on Benghazi, I think he could also get to 218 if he would decide to run. I actually think that Jeb Hensarling, the chairman of the Financial Services Committee, might have a chance as well. He has a very conservative record, yet he has worked well with the current leadership. So he might be able to bridge that gap and make the math work, be able to get to 218 votes. Because at the end of the day, Jordan, that was it at play here with Kevin McCarthy. He was not to the satisfaction of the conservatives in the House of Representatives. He just could not get to 218 votes.
Yeah, and so, folks, I want to take your calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. What are your thoughts on this new development for the Speaker of the House? It's a very important office. It's the leader of the House of Representatives. As a leader, it's the third in line to be president. And on top of that, really setting the stage for what kind of legislation moves through and dealing with the president directly. So we want to take your phone calls on that. If you've got a pick, 1-800-684-3110. Prime Minister Netanyahu is calling what Israel has been experiencing, and we've been talking about on our broadcast. Remember, we have an office, ACLJ, right in Jerusalem, right outside the gates of the old city, there is a wave of terrorism in Israel. We need to stop funding the Palestinian Authority, $400 million a year. We could stop this immediately, and especially while they are encouraging terrorism. Call now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority is threatening Israel and breaking decades-old peace agreements. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has declared that it's breaking the 1995 Oslo peace accords with Israel. That's a direct violation of international law and puts Israel in grave danger. Here's the problem. The U.S. sends about $400 million of our tax dollars to the Palestinian Authority each year. At the ACLJ, we're taking direct action to defend our ally, Israel. We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. Let's pray for the people of Israel during this wave of terror that they are facing in throughout the country. I mean, it's happening in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, outside Tel Aviv, and it's civilians being targeted. More today have already been targeted. And as we go into the holy day and we go into the Shabbat, and this evening it's already beginning in Israel. It's such a critical time to pray for our ally Israel. But we also should stand for Israel. We're going to get more into the speaker's race now, but let's not forget our petition to stop funding this terrorism by the Palestinian Authority. And we've concluded it's the Palestinian Authority and Hamas acting here. Call now. It's our toll-free number. Final day to add your name to this petition. Call 877-989-2255. Final day to stand with Israel through this petition. Call our toll-free number, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255. And let's not forget, the U.S. has also ended its $500 million rebel training program in Syria. That's right. They spent $500 million. They've trained what news reports say are four or five fighters, four or five for $500 million. And they've disbanded that. They say it's not working. Those four or five, we believe, have already been killed in battle. So again, more of a reason, more of a window for Russia to be involved, and Iran involved, not just by air, but in the ground in Syria, in the battle, not just against ISIS, but the Assad regime. We'll continue to update you on that. But let's get back into what's going on with the Speaker of the House race as well in the United States. Stan, I know we got a lot of phone calls. I want to get to them this segment.
Yeah, we do have a lot of phone calls coming into the broadcast. We appreciate all of you for holding on. We are going to get to you in this segment, and we are going to start with Clyde calling from California on line four. Clyde, you are on the air.
Yes, thanks. My question is about defunding Hamas. I think I understand the power of the petition, but my question is why we're having to go through the petition process to defund. I'm understanding Hamas is on the terrorist list. And secondly, what's the climate in Washington in reference to moving this forward? What's the buzz? I mean, what kind of support are we getting on actually accomplishing this?
Dan, why don't we give everybody an update about the efforts to stop the funding to the Palestinian Authority? I mean, this is all happening, you know, in light of this wave of violence. So that's just been really in the last week or so. But Dan, give everybody an update.
Well, first of all, I want to credit Clyde for following this attention and draw people's attention to what he said at the outset. We should not be having to have this fight. Current law in the United States is that you cannot fund a terrorist organization. When Hamas joined with Mahmoud Abbas and made the unity government there in the Palestinian Authority, they forfeited their right under U.S. law to receiving this funding. The president should have pulled it immediately. He did not. We believe he is acting in contradiction to U.S. law. Now, the reason that the petition is still necessary is because that Congress could take away the ability of the president to do this, even though the law is already on the books. They would not even allocate the money in the first place. That is what this petition is asking for. And as to the question about what the climate is, I would just say that there are bipartisan bills, some put forward by Republicans, some put forward by Democrats, to accomplish this exact thing. So I think the climate is there, but they actually have to follow through with action. And in the funding bills, they have to strip this funding. That's why we're pressing for it, especially at this time. So I hope that explains it for Clyde. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Susan calling from California on line two. Susan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, hi. I was just commenting that when Israel J pointed out to us that Abbas had repudiated the Oslo Accords at the UN, I looked up online and found that most media did not even cover this, yet very clearly is leading to violence on the part of Israel's opponents. But I also wanted to say we need to pray for Muslims. They don't have a promise of eternal life except through jihad that they know of.
Well, you're right. We do. And you pray for your enemies, and we pray for everyone. And that doesn't, you know, every Muslim is not an enemy. But in this case, you've got radical terrorist ideology fueling this, theology fueling these attacks. And as well, on top of that, you've got a financial incentive here. And that's because the Palestinian Authority pays the families of these individuals who carry out these attacks. And they're using the tax dollars that we provide for infrastructure to help those people that you've said to pray for. They use that money to then go and pay families so that the families have an incentive to send a kid off to try and attack and kill Israeli civilians.
Actually got a phone call coming in on that exact point, Jordan, the fact that it is really the United States that is now in turn funding these attacks through our taxpayer dollars by way of Hamas and the unity government there. It's JP. He's calling from California on line one. JP, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello, Will. How are you doing this morning?
We're good.
Doing well.
You've answered my question. The thing is, I think I'll just add Trey Gowdy or Louis Gohmert for Speaker of the House, and maybe one of them would have enough backbone to stand up and file charges against this administration for violating that part of the law. You know, somebody's got to do something.
They're both good friends of ours. And, you know, I know that Congressman Gowdy is looking at it potentially, but no announcement there yet. I think a lot of this will come down to, I'm not sure that Congressman Gohmert has given any indication that he's interested in running this time. Certainly, I think everything's going to come down to, for the most part at least, to shape this next level of the race if Paul Ryan gets in. Dan, as we're kind of closing out today, I think that that's going to be key. People should watch for over the weekend. If Paul Ryan's in, it means likely that Chaffetz is out. You may get some others as well, but he would become kind of the front runner for Speaker of the House. This race has gone on long enough to cover almost like a political race.
Yeah, and I think JP puts his finger on an important part of this race. One of the things that I would say to him is Paul Ryan and Trey Gowdy are both close personal friends as well as close allies, and Trey Gowdy has been pretty clear over the last 24 hours that he is lobbying Paul Ryan very hard to take the speakership, to run for speaker. So he is in Paul Ryan's camp right now. Now, if Paul Ryan says no, I actually think that Trey Gowdy is one of only a couple of people that can make the math work and get to 218 to become Speaker of the House in place of John Boehner. But right now, he's behind Paul Ryan. I think he becomes an option, and he may get the pressure that Paul Ryan is getting now if Paul Ryan says no. We've actually got another call on this topic coming in. It's on line six. It's Katrina calling from Ohio. Katrina, welcome to JSEC Live. You're on the air.
Good morning. So, well, I listen to a lot. I'm an over-the-road dog rescuer, and so I listen to a lot of radio, and I listen to both sides of the aisle, as it were. I'll listen to NPR, CNBC, and then I listen to Fox. And what Fox is saying is that 2 days ago, Paul Ryan, and again, this, you know, I'm giving you this from what I heard, said, hell no. And then I guess as recent as yesterday, he told, of course, a close associate, maybe. But what Fox is saying is that because Paul Ryan has approved just about every single bill that appropriation that Obama has asked for, TARP, and they listed like 20 other ones, that it's going to be very hard for him to get the kind of support that he would need to make the numbers work.
Well, and I think that you're probably right on looking at the support. I think that's probably what he's doing this weekend while he's talking to his family about it, is also seeing whether or not it's a race that he can win. And there's going to be criticism of anybody because you're stepping up and you're saying, you know, I want to be the leader. So I think it remains, we need to kind of wait and see. Because it's so fluid. But Dan, what are you hearing from kind of the conservatives on Capitol Hill? I mean, I look at someone like Congressman Chaffetz, who said they would kind of encourage Paul Ryan and maybe step aside in their own bid for Speaker.
Yeah, the numbers are hard for anyone, Jordan, in a divided environment like this. I mean, you can only lose 29 votes out of the 247 you have. So I think anyone is going to have a hard time. I actually think it's pretty clear that Paul Ryan would get to the 218. There are a number of members of the Freedom Caucus who are the block of 40 of the most conservative members who said that they would vote for Paul Ryan. So I think he's actually one of only a couple that could make the numbers work. but it's not easy for anyone, Jordan. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to William calling from Georgia on line four. William, you're on the air.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Jordan. Real quick, like, this is my question. I'm real puzzled about this. But why does it seem like, you know, with the fact that funding terrorism is a federal crime anyway, and it's also against the Constitution of the United States, why does it seem like President Obama tends to get away with it and nothing happens to him at all, nothing consequential?
Because we let our government get away with it, ultimately. We let them say, well, this is for humanitarian purposes, and we trust the Palestinian Authority to do good accounting. Hey, this is the money we got from the U.S., so we'll do that for humanitarian. Don't intermingle that with the money that goes to the families of those who killed Israelis that we've recruited to be terrorists. I don't trust the Palestinian Authority to do that. Most members of Congress don't either, and I don't think the American people do as well. Now, coming up on the next segment of the broadcast, sorry, we've had a little bit of a line trouble today on the broadcast. Thanks for staying with us, and we tried to get as many calls as we could. My dad was on Sean Hannity's television broadcast talking about another topic, Hillary Clinton, the emails, the cover-up there. We're going to play some of that interview for you when we get back. So if you missed him on Sean Hannity's TV broadcast, my dad, you'll hear Jay Sekulow with Sean Hannity discussing that, breaking down the legal issues. Stand with Israel. Last day to do so. Call 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255.
The terrorist-led Palestinian Authority is threatening Israel and breaking decades-old peace agreements. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has declared that it's breaking the 1995 Oslo peace accords with Israel. That's a direct violation of international law and puts Israel in grave danger. Here's the problem. The U.S. sends about $400 million of our tax dollars to the Palestinian Authority each year. At the ACLJ, we're taking direct action to defend our ally, Israel. We're working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, ACLJ.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, Dan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Listen, if you have not yet signed the petition demanding that the United States quit funding terrorists, that is the law of the land in the United States. You cannot send U.S. taxpayer dollars to a terrorist organization, yet that is exactly what we are doing when we are sending an average of about $400 million a year to the Palestinian Authority. They are now in a unity government with Hamas, a designated terrorist organization. It is time for that funding to stop. If you want to sign your name to our petition demanding that happen, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Listen, in this segment of the broadcast, I want to quickly pivot directions for just a moment. Jay was on Sean Hannity's TV broadcast a few days ago talking about the unfolding situation involving Hillary Clinton's email scandal. Folks, it's really more than an email scandal. It is a matter involving the national security of the United States and what foreign interest or what interest, period, that are not eligible to access this classified information might have had to Hillary Clinton's email server and to the content on those servers. Jay was on with Sean Hannity to talk about all those details and to talk about where we go from here to make sure that the national security of the United States is protected. Let's go ahead and listen to that interview now. Again, it's Jay on with Sean Hannity.
And joining us now with reaction, author of the book, The Rise of ISIS. He's also the chief counsel for the American Center of Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow. Also, pollster Frank Luntz. The truth is that four Americans did die, Jay. And they requested the ambassador. Ambassador Stevens requested security, and it was denied by the State Department on numerous occasions before the attack. The truth is that four Americans did die, Jay, and they requested the ambassador. Ambassador Stevens requested security, and it was denied by the State Department on numerous occasions before the attack. The stand-down order was given during the attack, and then a big manufactured lie was given after the attack. So there was legitimate reason from the get-go, but even with that said, the Republican leadership resisted until when? May of 2014.
Yeah. So, and what happens, of course, is, you know, bad news doesn't get better with time. And this was a horrific incident. The Congress, and I think Trey Gowdy has done a very good job here. I don't blame him at all. But the lack of time, whenever you've got a case and there's now a two-year gap or three-year gap between the incident when you're actually having hearings that actually count, things happen. And, of course, what happened here was basically the non-release of the emails, the missing emails, the difficulty of the committee getting the data. So this lack of time between the very beginning of when this inquiry should have started, right when it happened, and now in 2015, nothing positive has developed there. And I think Trey Gowdy's going to do a good job of putting it back together. But the fact of the matter is, you're right, the reluctance upon moving forward here does have a significant impact because, look, the public wears out. People want to get on with other things. It's a horrible incident. And people are saying, well, we're not going to get to the bottom of it 3 years later. Maybe we're never going to get to the bottom of it. So hopefully we will. But you're right, the delay has not been helpful.
All right, Frank, now there's a coordinated attack trying to capitalize on maybe inarticulate statements that Kevin McCarthy made on this program. I knew what he meant, but it wasn't taken that way. They're trying to run with this. They've got their talking points out. They try, this proves it's political. It had nothing to do with anything else. What do you think of the ad? Does that go anywhere? You're great at analyzing them.
Well, I'm watching this, and this is a 20-year pattern of the Clintons, that you go and you try to destroy anyone who might challenge you. And I'm hoping that House Republicans are paying attention, because Hillary Clinton does not want Kevin McCarthy to be Speaker. He's got a better hold, he's got a better leadership skills than any of the other people in that campaign. And he knows how to move Congress forward, And the idea that he might be speaker, I'm not surprised that Hillary Clinton came after him because she's afraid. She's afraid of the facts, she's afraid of the truth, and she's afraid of an effective Congress that could hold her accountable.
But isn't there a bigger issue here, and that is her first national ad, and it really wasn't a national buy. She's only spending $100,000, which is very small in terms of an ad buy.
Yeah.
The fact that she's on the defensive, the fact that she's playing, I'm the victim. She's always the victim in every circumstance. There's always some vast intergalactic right-wing conspiracy that is out to get her. So I don't think that's a very effective ad for any campaign. Add to that the email server and the FBI looking into it. That has nothing to do really with Republicans. Those are her mistakes.
Well, it's very simple here. The public has the right to the truth. They have Congress has a responsibility to get at the truth, and Hillary Clinton has to tell the truth, and she hasn't up to now. And that's why you see her numbers. I don't want to make this a political issue, but Sean, you've asked a political question. The reason why she has fallen so much is because she doesn't tell the truth. And Majority Leader McCarthy has held her accountable, and that does have an impact both on what happens on Capitol Hill and what the American people see.
You know, Jay, we've got a lot of legal issues involving the email server.
Yep.
I think the biggest problem she has, we had Ed Klein on the show last night. He is reporting that people close to Hillary are recommending that she get a criminal defense attorney. Do you think it's going to get that far?
Right. I'm surprised she doesn't have one now, because I think whoever's giving her that advice is absolutely correct. Look, you've got an FBI investigation that Jim Comey's taking seriously as the FBI director. There are very serious allegations of what has happened here. We know what's happened. I mean, look at the information that we know. You can imagine what the FBI knows a lot more than we know. But what we know is that an unsecured server with an organization that had no security clearance, she also gave the emails and the thumb drive to her lawyer who had no security clearance. And when you put all of this together, without even knowing what the FBI knows in much greater detail, Sean, I'm shocked that she does not have a criminal defense attorney, because the reality is there is a criminal investigation going on here. And who is the focus of it? Hillary Clinton. Why is she the focus of it? She set up the email to be the separate server. So at the end of the day, you could blame staff, you could say other people did something like it, but the truth is there's not a history of anything like this done this way. And she did this, she's going to be held accountable. Now, whether that becomes a criminal charge ultimately will rest with the Attorney General of the United States. Obama administration has to make a decision.
Well, go back to the email. What about this development today that this Platte River employee company, the one that the server with the in the closet, et cetera, the idea that they were contacted to maintain her secret email server, they became concerned about being roped into a cover-up when they were asked to reduce the amount of data that they were holding after a congressional request for that data. And notes were sent out saying, wait a minute, this may not be a good idea.
Because if I was Platte River's lawyer, I would tell them the same thing. Don't start erasing data. Don't start changing things. Don't start covering up, because often the cover-up is the crime. And in the situation where you're in that they find themselves in, whether they violate the law or not is not so much whether they had the server. That wasn't their response. They had a client. They took the client's business. But then if you're asked to do something while there's an ongoing criminal investigation or an ongoing congressional oversight, and you start tampering with evidence, you end up looking at an obstruction of justice charge, and that becomes a whole different story. So I can understand exactly why their lawyers at Platte River said, hey, don't do that.
Guys,
don't start messing with the documents you're holding. We've got to find, there's ongoing investigations, subpoenas have probably been issued. You got to be careful. The lawyers gave him good advice.
All right, guys. Good to see you both. Appreciate it.
Again, folks, that was Jay on Sean Hannity's TV broadcast. We will keep you updated on that issue. But as we close the broadcast today, our first step in this process to right our foreign policy in the United States, in the Middle East region, is to stop funding terrorist organizations. We want to start with the $400 million that we are sending to the Unity government and the Palestinian Authority that is being used to pay the salaries of Hamas terrorists. If you want to stand with us in that demand, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org. Again, the number 877-989-2255, and we'll talk to you next week.
working aggressively in Congress to cut off funding for these terrorists. Send a message to Congress right now. Stop funding the Palestinian Authority, a terrorist-led entity at war with Israel. Add your name to our new petition right now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.